The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Well, today I'm going to be talking about turning towards and validating our experience. So many of us are very stressed right now, distressed. And so learning how to be with strong emotions is really essential for our well-being and for how we show up in the world. Turning away from our feelings is a common strategy. And we, especially before we come to our practice, you know, we may think that if we ignore our feelings, they'll just go away, but they don't. There's a saying that whatever we resist persists. So there was a reading from this morning. I'll read again. It's by a woman named Shauna Hawkes from a website called Tiny Buddha. If you've been holding it all together for too long, maybe strength doesn't look like pushing through. Maybe it looks like slowing down, like taking a breath, like feeling what's been waiting to be felt. And I would add, and to be held, held in loving kindness. So how many times have you had a hard day? And maybe you went home to tell a family member, or you called a friend just to vent, right? And instead of just listening, they said, oh, this is what you should have done, or this is what you should do. Has anybody had that experience? No? I'm seeing a lot of nodding heads. Okay. So they launch into fix-it mode, right? And how do you feel when that happens? Frustrated, right? Dismissed. And yet so often we actually do that to our own experience, right? So I read an article recently written by a therapist named Kelsey Mora, who specializes in children. And she starts off talking about how important it is for kids to feel seen, heard, and believed. She says this helps them feel safe, and safety is the foundation for emotional regulation, communication, and connection. Anytime a child is upset, they need to feel like you believe them before they can shift into problem-solving mode, from feeling to thinking. In other words, they need to feel validated, right? That's the first step in mindfulness, turning towards what is without judgment. Oh, this is how it is right now, right? Without clinging to how things we want to be, or pushing away what is that we don't want with aversion, right? Taking a breath. Opening our hearts and our minds and being with what is. It's not that we stay that way, we never take action, but it's an essential first step. So let's just do this with our hands. Just push away what you don't want. Push it away. Could feel strengthening, right? Ugh, get rid of you. And then clinging to something we want. Oh, I want it to be this way. How does that feel? Stressful, right? Tight. It's contracting. And so then just open up your hands like this. How does that feel? Restful, easeful, right? That's our mindfulness, right? We're not pushing away, which can make us feel kind of powerful in the moment, but doesn't get rid of anything, right? It just keeps it kind of at a distance. We're clinging tightly to what we want. We want to we want that we don't have or we want to hold on to. But where we find our peace is in this, right? The open hands, the accepting, oh, this is what it is right now, right? So seeing with clear eyes and holding it. So Kelsey goes on to spell out how to validate based on the age of the child. So from birth to 2 years, the message that infants and toddlers need to feel validated is, I'm right here. Children don't have a developed nervous system, so they have to tap into a mature adult to co-regulate through a warm tone of voice, a gentle touch, and a calm presence that reassures them that their caregiver can hold their emotions with them, right? How often can we hold our own emotions with that kind of calm presence? So let's just try that for ourselves. Put a hand on your heart or your belly and just close your eyes and say, I am right here. And I am right here with you. Just notice how that might feel. And I wonder how many of us received that kind of support when we were upset and our caregivers were probably as stressed out as we were and there was no one to help them. Does anybody relate to that? Maybe their parents didn't know how to deal with their emotions. So no one ever taught them, so how could they teach us, right? So ages 3 to 5, when a child is clinging tightly onto something, not wanting to let go, it's helpful to name their experience to give them the language that they don't yet have. You weren't ready to go to leave the park. For instance, you weren't ready to leave the park and that made you upset. If anybody else had young kids or have young kids, that's really upsetting, right? No, I don't want to go to the park. I don't want to leave. So giving them the words to understand their feelings helps them to process their emotions. Is there something maybe that you are holding on to, you're clinging to, that you want, that needs to hear that kind of validation, right? Know that you care. Ages 6 to 9 years old, kids need caregivers to normalize their emotions so that they don't feel rejected and shamed for their feelings and then turn around and reject those feelings. They learn to make friends with them, right? So you might say, it makes sense that you feel dejected, right? Your friends just, you know, defriended you or whatever. It makes sense that you feel this way. Is there something that you might benefit from normalizing, right? To name and say, that makes sense that you're feeling this way. You're feeling angry. You're feeling despairing, right? Name it and normalize it. And then ages 10 to 12 years, acceptance calms the reactivity so that you can choose a wiser response. Sitting with the difficulty, right? First, it's okay you feel disappointed. And then reflecting on, what do you need right now, right? So how often do we turn away from our own discomfort, right? We ignore or push away. We get mad at our feelings, right? Just go away. So 13 years and above, it's listening without fixing. Right? That sounds really difficult, right? I'm glad you shared that with me. So, and then trusting in their ability to work through it. So to review, the progression of support goes like this. Soothing and comforting, right? I'm right here. Cultivating self-awareness. It made you so upset when, right? Naming that. And then normalizing the feelings. It makes sense you feel this way. And then cultivating the ability to be with the difficult emotions, seeing if you can be with them without turning away. And then pausing to shift from reactivity to a wise response. So I don't know about you, but these all seem like wise practices, no matter how old. This doesn't seem like this is just for kids or for people who have kids, right? This is for all of us. And, you know, especially those of us who were not modeled how to be with big emotions. So I was in the grocery store the other day, and I saw a caregiver pushing a cart, and there was a child sitting inside the cart, not with the feet out, but, you know, where you put your groceries. And the kid kept on, she was on the phone, and the child kept on popping up, and she would say, "No, sit down," and go back to her phone. And then you'd reach for something. "No, stop that." Right? And this kept on going on and on. I think I witnessed this for like 5 minutes. And I thought, it's so obvious. That child just needs her attention, right? She needs to get off the phone. How often do we do that to ourselves, right? There are emotions that are clamming for our attention and we get distracted. We don't pay attention. So when we try to ignore or repress these feelings, they don't just go away. I think we all know that. We've come to this practice because we've tried to repress a lot of things and they haven't gone away, right? The only way to find peace is to turn towards the feeling so that it will feel seen, heard, and believed, right? This creates safety and trust, which moves us from reactivity towards equanimity. So there was this recent podcast I heard about a school where they have posters up all around the school and in the classrooms. And it says, if someone is having big feelings, ask them, do you want to be A, helped, B, heard, C, hugged? Wouldn't that be great if we had those everywhere? When you're having a hard time, do you need help or do you need to be just listened to? Do you need comfort? Right? So what if when we sit down to meditate and something that is bothering us starts bubbling up? Does that happen to you? I know it happens to me a lot, right? I just want to sit down and be peaceful. And then stuff that's going on that's disturbing me starts rising to the surface, right? And so then the instructions are, right, come back to your breath. Right? And then the thoughts come back. And then you come back to your breath and the thoughts come back. And maybe those thoughts are like the child in the cart, right? I need you to pay attention to me, right? So sometimes it's good to just turn towards what is coming up with compassion and kindness, right? And ask, do you just need me to listen, right? Do you need some comfort? Do we need to solve something, right? But before we solve anything, we really need to validate our feelings and to be there for them and to just make space for them, right? Taking a mindful pause, what do I need right now? So Tara Brach teaches this practice, RAIN. It's a mindful and self-compassion practice to R, recognize what is happening, your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors. A, for allow the experience to be just as it is for now, right? Before you start trying to fix it. Allow the thoughts, feelings, sensations to be there. And in her words, she says, it's okay. This belongs, right? This makes sense. I is for investigate with interest and care, with curiosity, right? What wants my attention here? How am I feeling this in my body? Where am I feeling this? What am I believing in my thoughts? Right? What needs to be seen and heard? And then N in RAIN is for nurture with self-compassion. Recognize you are suffering and offering a gesture of active care, right? Maybe it's a hand on your heart. Maybe it's like, oh, guy, this really hurts right now. I'm sorry this is happening, right? So your inner child will start to calm as you are a wise, compassionate self begins to take charge. Trust will develop along with a sense of safety within. So there's another reading from this tiny Buddha website. Danielle Amy is her name. There was a moment that shifted everything. I was sitting on the floor of my bedroom crying without a clear reason. I had that familiar urge to figure it out. I put one hand on my heart, the other on my belly, and I breathed. And I said out loud, I'm here, I'm listening. It sounds small, but it felt like something in me softened. My body didn't need me to understand. It needed me to be with it. And when you start listening, really listening, you stop needing so many answers. Because sometimes the answer isn't figure it out. It's feel what's actually happening. And that's enough. So I would like to dedicate the merit of our practice together to really deeply listening to ourselves, paying attention to what needs our care and offering comfort so that we can create a safe home within ourselves, bring some peace out into the world with us that desperately needs it. So thank you so much for your practice today. We're going to have 15-minute